For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so, you know, we talked with Comptroller Sean Scanlon yesterday, and one of the topics we discussed was the XL Center. And he made the case for justifying the $150 million to renovate it. And it's a topic we've talked a lot about, you know, and we're not going to get a new building. It's hard to justify a $1 billion expenditure, right, when you don't have a major sports team here. And it really appears that both the Bridgeport Amphitheater, or whatever they call it, and the casinos are really, really dominating the live event scene, and the XL Center is struggling. So, I'm just fascinated by this story, because I don't know what the right answer necessarily is. And so anytime people make it a core issue, I love to talk about it. So I want to welcome in Bill Field, long career as an executive in advertising communications, wrote an op-ed in the Hartford Courant, renovating the XL Center, throwing good money after bad. He joins us here on Brian and Company. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. And I appreciate you getting on the show with us to talk about it. Can you just present to the audience what your general thesis is?
Well, the general thesis is that you're kicking the can down the road if you don't really make a decision to be bold or not. You know, think about people that walk into the XL Center. They're not going in. They're going in for a team. They're going in for an event. They never think about the building. And the building itself, you can put Band-Aids on it, but it's not going to change the concourses, the restrooms. It's an old building that's, 50 years old. Now you're going to say you can get another 20 years out of it. It just doesn't work. And somewhere along the line, you got to make a decision. Are you in or are you out?
So what would you do if you were, I don't know, mayor, governor, I don't know who could execute it, but what would be your blue sky scenario?
Blue sky scenario is a new building. You have to look at really putting your energies into making something that's going to be magnificent, you know, or do something different. One of the thoughts I had, you know, you think about Vegas. Now, Vegas is Vegas. But look at the Sphere. Look what they did. They did something out of the box, different, and it's really, really successful. I think if you build something that people are going to talk about, create a lot of buzz, and have a building that people want to go to, and then also that attracts people. You know, they, right, as they put in the piece, they seceded the position of the concert market to the casinos, and then the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater down in Bridgeport.
Right.
Well, you know, then what happens? You're going to have much more lucrative naming rights.
So I don't disagree with you per se, but you know, the argument is the cost benefit analysis. The Sphere cost over $2 billion to make, and if you build a new building here, regardless, it's going to cost. You really can't build a decent building for like less than $1 billion. And how are you going to make that worth someone's while to put up the money to do that? Because you don't have a single major pro sports team, and none are coming.
Right, and you're right. You're not. The likelihood of recruiting a sports team to Hartford is
it's not
slim
happening.
And Slim just left town. So, in other words, I think you've got to look and say, does the Band-Aid approach work to continue to keep a building healthy? Yes. But in my estimation is somewhere along the line, you've got to be bold. And if you're not bold, you're going to have the same experience. And that experience is not something that people are itching to get to the XL Center.
Yeah.
And conversely, think about, Brian, the naming rights. The naming rights are really, really low in the naming rights world. The XL Center, $400,000, that's very, very low.
Yeah, I mean, Bill's referencing, the XL is coming off the books starting, I think, at the end of the year. And we talked to Ken Gosselin yesterday. I don't know whether they're trying to gin up energy or there are a lot of bona fide people talking about it. But the naming rights are up for grabs for the building. And you know, these often go for millions and millions of dollars in major pro sports towns, but, you know, we're not a major pro sports town. Although I would argue if you do the kind of visibility deal with the highways right there, you could probably find a way to make it really, really worth their while. I like the concept of being bold and having visionary approach to this. And I just don't know. I just don't know what that would look like. Because imagine you build a beautiful building and no one ever comes to fill it. You know, I mean, the Bridgeport stuff works because I think it's owned by Live Nation or whatever, and they leverage that with their proximity to New York. And the casino can leverage the experience of other elements to being there, right? You can stay in a hotel. You can go to the concert, have a couple of drinks, and sleep in a bed that's, you know, 250 yards away or whatever. And but what's the sell? I don't know if Hartford can get that concert leverage back.
Well, because the performers also want to be in a venue that creates brand halo for them.
Yeah,
you know, think about that. They want the tie back to their individual brand. That predicates a lot of the decision making too. So, you know, if you build it, will they come? Or they come if you don't build it, and that's the conundrum that the building faces. And I'm really intrigued by what they're going to be able to do with the naming rights. Yeah. Because is there a local company that's willing to step up like Travelers did the championship, albeit at a very different level? But think of Target Field in Minnesota. That's a real tie-in to the local corporation. That's where the naming rights really work well. So, in other words, can they do that with somewhere to create some energy with a local corporation or a state-based corporation?
You know,
that's another big, big challenge coming out of this.
The Travelers comp is interesting because if you really think about the money they outlay every year for the Travelers, it's probably what would be the debt service on a billion-dollar building. You know what I mean? Because they spend millions and millions, tens of millions every year. You know, go ahead.
I'm saying, well, you know, something like with Target or with Citi Field, again, albeit on a very much larger scale, Citi Field, they activate the brand.
Yeah.
That's what Travelers does so well. They activate the brand in the championship. XL, to my extent, never really activated the brand. Who was XL? Because, you know, Brian, they need brands need three prongs: awareness, recognition, and equity. And I don't think they got past the awareness prong of that three-stool branding stool in terms of getting to who is XL,
right?
You know, what is it they do? How do you create that brand equity and recognition standpoints that are so vital to a brand in a branding strategy?
Yeah, it's such a great point. They cared so little about it that they didn't even try to do any engagement or activation. I mean, it's crazy.
Right. It was a faceless and nameless building. That's what happens a lot, Brian, in naming rights. I mean, there are some that are really rich. SoFi Stadium out on the West Coast, really good activation. You know, but you got to use your brand, and it's either, you know, the best stadium naming rights are those that have a employee and a public good tie-in. The others are just faceless names, you know, like the Dunkin' Providence, Dunkin' Donuts. Everyone calls it the Dunk. Now it's the Amp.
Yeah.
You know, it's Amica.
Yeah.
Who Amica Mutual Pavilion. Who the heck is it? You know, just I understand the Amica tie, but can you make it the Amp? Will people call it the Amp? Maybe they will 10 years down the road.
Yeah.
But the Dunk was beautiful.
Yeah.
And Dunkin' Donuts Park, same thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're great tie-ins.
Yeah. No, it's so true. But, hey, Bill, we got to run. It's great to have you on the show. And you know, anytime, maybe on marketing and stuff, we'll touch base again.
Yeah, you know, I love brands. So anytime you want to talk brands or public relations, always willing. Thanks awesome. For the talk.
Yeah, it was a good piece. Thanks, Bill. Have a great weekend.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.